Good evening, everybody. We're the Tri-State Sports Guys. I thought Neil was taking over the reins here of our Segway King. He was just ranting and raving about his Segway ability. So I was really thinking he was going to be the one to really spark off the show, but I'll do it.
I don't know how to segue the start of a show.
I'm an intro guy. That's what I mean. I'm like Stuttering John.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's all I got is the intro. So we're Tri-State Sports Guys. To my right, I got Neil Lynch, of course.
You.
Come making this trip up from Hoboken.
Hoboken, no joking.
Behind the glass, we got Tony D, of course.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's spotty. His attendance has been spotty. He's threatening to H this class, but he's gonna try to work out the rest of the season. JT's still out on assignment.
Negotiating tactic.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He's holding out. JT's been holding out. You think this guy's MJD? So why don't we start with some baseball, Neil? Everybody's talking football. Whatever. Let's talk about baseball because in New York it's so huge right now.
Oh, yeah. We got two teams in the thick of things.
We got two teams really in the hunt.
Playoff contenders.
Yeah, exactly right. Let's start talking about the Yanks a little bit. Now the lead's down to 3.5 games after Tampa Bay's win today. And it doesn't even seem really like the Yankees have been playing that poorly after their big slide that they had. It's just that, you know, they've actually been playing pretty decent baseball. They haven't been getting good pitching, but I mean, the Rays going on their typical, you know, Tampa Bay Rays run towards the end of the year, and they're making a move. Of course, you know, when I got David Price starting my fantasy team, they get shut out last night by Luke Hochevar. But, you know, so what do you make of it? I mean, are they safe here? 3.5 games? They're facing Chris Sale tonight, who's a stud, a young candidate. They could only be up 3 games after today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not the kind of guy to go out on a limb and give you predictions.
Are you doing here?
I just like to drink, and you guys, like, you give me drinks.
I come down here.
That's a simple.
I enjoy Metro North, which is lovely.
Yeah, there's a
South North train station.
There is a certified dime on that train every time I get on it. And I don't. I mean, you know, I don't get out much. And
you must not get out. I took Metro North every day for 5 years.
Any kind of eye candy that comes my way,
it's enough to make
I
a trip up to
it.
Norwalk. You love Norwalk, though.
Yeah, but I mean, what do
I
you
mean,
want
should
me?
If you're a Yankee fan, I just want to know, do you think you should be worried? I mean, I'm not even saying worried you're not going to make the playoffs, but, you know, you look at the team. Right now, if the season were to end, the two wildcard teams would be the two teams out of the East. It would be Baltimore and Tampa Bay. And so the other teams that are on the outside looking in, which are good teams, that means is Anaheim and Detroit. So if you're the Yankees, are you worried at all, A, if you're going to lose a division? B, do you care if you don't, if you lose a division? And C, are you worried that you're not even going to get that second wild card? Which some people are panicking, saying, I can't imagine that happens. And I don't know the number of games that they're up. I guess it's probably around 6 or 7 to fall out of that. Plus, there's all those other teams in between them. But this does make a big difference. Winning a division is a huge deal now. You know, it's not like
you don't want to get in that wild card situation.
Not when you really only got one legitimate.
Yeah.
You know, you can talk about Hiro Kuroda all you want. The guy's been pitching great.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you want him pitching game one of a playoff series, which he would be doing if CeCe had to go pitch in that play-in game. And plus, if you're going into that play-in game and, you know, you got to face, you know, a stud, you say you got to face Verlander because the Tigers are the other wild card. You know, you want to get into that? You're a playoffs hope on facing Verlander, who could knock anybody out?
Yeah, and you know, Nova's not really carrying his end of the bargain. So, I mean,
sounded like he was in tears yesterday at his press conference.
Yeah, and then you got
which Tony respects. Tony loves a good cry out of an athlete. He loves it.
Yeah, I remember when Vernon Davis did it in the playoff game, and you wrote a poem, I think, right?
It was a
haiku.
It was a sonnet.
Sorry. Yeah.
So what do you make of it? I mean, what's going on? Is it just the injuries? I mean, they were able, when CeCe went down the first time, they actually played better. You know, Pettit's been out for a while. They've been winning plenty without him. It just seems like, you know, Nova and Hughes, they're so erratic.
Yeah.
And
I don't have any confidence in them.
I mean, I would compare Nova almost to the Mets' first half. You know, the Mets got all those crazy two-out hits. And they were hitting like 350 with two outs running in scoring position. And it's like, this can't last. Nova was on one of those runs where he was winning every game. You know, he won like 16 consecutive starts at home or whatever it was. And he, like, you know, no matter what he did, it was always enough to win. He wouldn't pitch well. He'd either get out of bases loaded jams. And it seems like now all of that luck, and I'd say a lot of it had to do with his 16-4 record last year. A lot of that had to do with luck. He didn't pitch like a 16-4 pitcher, just like Phil Hughes when he won 18 games, didn't pitch like an 18-game winner. Now it's all starting to come back where he's having that one bad inning. He can't seem to get deep into games. You know, I think you're seeing more. I think, you know, he's not as bad as he's pitching now, but he's a guy who's going to give you an ERA in the mid-fours. You know, on any other team, he'd be a 500 pitcher. He's solid. But I don't know that he's, you know, and, before the season, JT, he formerly was on this show, he was ranting and raving about Ivan Novi. He's one of the best young pitchers in baseball, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, this guy, you know, he's good. He's a good fourth starter.
It seems like he doesn't have the mental makeup to really come through and rise above the setbacks. And I don't even know if you can say that about Hughes either.
No,
so,
I mean,
so those are two guys that you're really depending on to be key parts of your rotation to kind of pull you out. And they're young guys, and I think that has a lot to do with it. But that's also – part of the onus is on the veteran players, someone in that bullpen, or someone on the team to come out and to come up to these guys and say, hey, we need you to get focused. We need you to bear down. We need you to work with the pitching coach and see where you're going wrong. What's the hiccup? Is it mental? Is it something with your mechanics?
Yeah.
And, you know, right now, you never want to panic, but you always need a sense of urgency. You know, a lot of people said when they got up on that 10-game lead that they started to kind of coast into autopilot. And they said, division's clinched. Let's think about what our playoff scheme is going to be. And it's like, you know, that was July.
Yeah.
September is going to be huge for them. And, you know, obviously we talked about not getting into the wild card situation. But also, we also have talked about how that lineup that we think is from – A to Z, a really good hitting lineup, power-wise.
Yeah.
They struggle against pitching.
Good pitching, 100%.
Especially of late, you know, with the struggles against Verlander and
Felix. Yeah.
Who, by the way, has started a new meme, not to get off track. But have you seen this? You know what a meme is?
No idea. I thought maybe you said the word wrong.
what do you think I said?
I don't know. I was like, I don't want to correct you, but meme isn't a word, Neil. What is a meme? I have no idea.
Internet memes. So, like, planking is a meme. T-bowing is a meme.
Okay.
And so now there's Felixing.
Come on.
I swear, to King Felix. So after his perfect game, he did, and so we have video this
now
week.
We're on.
Now, for the listeners at home, Mike will describe what I'm doing.
Okay, so Neil's... He's got one leg up in the air and two fingers up to the skies.
And
so, that's the thing.
That's Felixing. So you have people all over the place.
He's
tweeting pics of
a
like...
A new meme.
Yeah, a new meme. And so, but the funny thing is, I thought of you. I don't know why, but...
Well, because I'm clearly a great pitcher.
Well, I think you're secretly a Mariners fan. I'll put that out there.
All right. I do have Dustin Ackley on every freaking fantasy team, and he stinks. Keep going.
So there's a picture of him Felixing, and then there's a picture of where the wild things are, just kind of dancing next to him. And it's now my new desktop wallpaper. But getting back to the Yankees.
That made you think of me, where the wild things are?
See, that
I'm a big Spike Jones guy.
Yeah. I don't know. I just see you dressing up like a little kid with the crown, and you just love dancing with mysterious creatures.
Love it. Love it.
So
you know me so well.
So you want me to do segues. That was my
segue
first
into,
attempt at a segue.
Into a review of Where the Wild Things Are. Fucking movie. Go.
Yeah.
How did they take a book that was 30 pages, mostly pictures?
So, no, the segue is you know, when you talk about pitchers losing their cool or losing their command, that's when things go awry. You look at someone like John Neese, who, when he is able to hit his spots, and you can, this goes for any pitcher, a pitcher that can hit his spots, and it's so instrumental and key to winning a ball game.
It's the story of Andy Pettitte's career, because he doesn't have any A-plus pitch.
Yeah, you look at Greg Maddux. I mean, he didn't have... really dominating stuff. He did have a lot of movement. He was able to catch the paint a lot of times. And you look at Nova and Hughes, and you know, it's like, here's where the ball needs to be, and here's where it ends up. Over the plate, and it's easy for them to get the meat of the bat on it.
When you hear people use the phrase wild in the zone, That's not a good thing. Like, people say that about Oli Perez all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's wild in his own and it's effective, but it's not really over the long stretch. There are times you mean to go up and in and it winds up being down and away. And you're like, see, he missed his pop, but still got away with it.
If you miss, make sure you miss as a ball.
Yeah, right.
Don't miss as a strike.
Right, you're going
inside,
especially in Yankee Stadium.
Right.
Phil Hughes has given up, he's on pace for like 40 home runs allowed or something amazing like that.
Yeah.
He's given up a home run in every start other than, I think, three or four. Something amazing. I mean, that's just ridiculous. That I've had wiffle ball runs where I don't do that many home runs.
Yeah, but you—it was a huge scandal last year with the pine tar. I don't know.
There was that pine tar, and then you know the knuckleball was a little shaven down.
And the PEDs. I mean, you tested for those.
Everything. Is that a segue to PEDs?
Hey!
2 for 2. Boom, 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 boom.
Knocking them out tonight.
Segue, Neil.
I took a 5-hour energy on the way up, so I'm all kinds I'm all kinds on the top of my game right now.
Let's get in. Obviously, we were planning on just talking about Melky because the story gets crazier and crazier. This dude created his own website and a fake product to try to say, oh, no, I took this product.
Yeah.
The Milkman or whatever he named it.
The Milky 5000.
And then their ingredients are just like, don't look at this.
This is not FDA approved.
And he tried to do that. Now they're talking about, is that going to increase his penalties?
I got to give him props. I mean, I know
he went down swinging.
Yeah, he was like, hey, I'm always a big fan of, if you're going to fail, you got to go down like Zeppelin style, in flames.
This guy, they first started questioning him about it right after the All-Star break, reporters, and he like scoffed at him and said it was ridiculous. They were even questioning.
He palmoed it.
Yeah,
another meme.
You questioned the Milkman? I mean, a lot of guys go from 260 hitters to leading the league in hits, don't they? I mean, that happens like all the time.
It's called finding your inner self.
It's called finding your inner self. Check out my website.
Check out this fake website. I mean, real website.
Check out this website. We would have promoted it on Tri-State Sports, guys. We had the link.
We had the banner ads and everything.
That was our major sponsor, so we lost the Milkman.
We are now 1,000 in the hole.
So please send your money, care of Neil Lynch. So he goes down. Who knows? I mean, that's just a crazier story. But then Bartolo Colon comes out. He tested positive for testosterone. He was a guy that, like, you know, was washed up when the Yankees signed him. It was a joke. I remember actually laughing about it on the show. Was like, they brought in fat Bartolo Colon. And then there was a story that he went to Europe and got that crazy blood circulation, whatever it was. They shake up your platelets and re-inject them in. And
Lance Armstrong doping special.
Yeah, just the whole thing. And I'm like, man, if that could be all it takes, you know, I mean, that would change the world if that's all it takes. And he was always, you know, this is a guy who's throwing the still low to mid-90s at 39 years old, and he is fat.
Yeah.
And so he comes out, he just said...
Which that automatically, in O's perspective, that means you're a zero.
Yeah, that's right. So the guy's a zero. He now is, he was a big part of Oakland's run here.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy would give you good innings. This guy had an ERA relatively low, and for the American League, it was in the threes. He had a low whip. This guy was, arguably one of their aces on that staff. And now he's gone for the year. I assume his career is over. And he just came out and sorry, cheated.
Yeah, I mean,
look at me.
I just,
they shouldn't even have had to drug test them. They should have been like, dude, come on.
Yeah, you came out of nowhere, bro.
And the thing with Melky, though, no, I mean, he got, that dude put out some weight, some pounds. I mean, Chris, I was actually talking to DeRoma. I mean, this was like months ago.
Yeah.
And he's like, this guy's juicing. I mean, it's clear. The guy's smashing the ball. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And
yeah, he's hitting home runs at a park where this does not allow for home runs.
Yeah.
And so he's hitting home runs, and he comes out, and he's doing all these things.
It's a good thing I'm not a tester, because it needs to be like, I need like a handwritten statement with like a fingerprint from the guy saying, I did steroids for me to like... to notice anything. I mean, we played with guys, and there were – I'm not even going to name names, but I played with guys, like, we talk about high school football, where, like, legitimately my entire offensive line was juicing and, like, injecting into their neck. So, you know, I'm just glad I'm not the guy holding the cup or whatever it is. I don't even know how they test.
I think you hold it. Yeah? You got two hands, right?
I mean, I don't – How does it work?
I don't understand
is... It is 2012, not 2002.
Well, granted, but there also are ways... there's still no way of testing for HGH unless you're taking blood samples, and they're not doing that yet, correct?
Yes, that's right.
So why not just do HGH? I know people personally that have taken HGH. They say, like, the energy you get from it, it's amazing. I know guys in their mid to late 30s, they take it, they feel literally 15 years younger, and they're putting on muscle and all this stuff,
yeah.
and there's even scientists saying that there's not really side effects to it. It's not like anabolic steroids where, you know, shrinks your testicles and does all, kills your liver and all this stuff. There's not, I mean, it's something that your body already produces. So, like, why are you not taking that?
Yeah.
Why are you taking synthetic testosterone, which is both these guys tested positive for? And even so, you know, Victor Conti, who, you know, you could take whatever he says with a grain of salt. This is the guy who created the Balco scandals, created, you know, he was the head of it. You know, first he said his crazy statement that 50% of it, 50% of the major leagues are still doing it, but he also said there's really, if you want to do it and not get caught, you'll never get caught because there's so many masking agents and things and ways to do it. So the only way you get caught is if you're just completely careless, and both of these guys did that. But I actually think that both of these cases kind of disproves his account that 50% of the major leagues, because they are so obviously taking steroids. Because they, like, are two guys, like, you know, Mel Cabrera was a fourth outfielder, kind of round around. Last year, he comes out of nowhere, gets 200 hits. And even the Royals didn't even really believe in him because they traded him straight up for Jonathan Sanchez. He went, and they talked about it being the worst trade of all time and this and that. And then he goes to and hits 346 with, like, 15 jacks in San Francisco. And you're like, something is so obviously wrong about this. It's like would see more of those cases if it was 50%. They wouldn't stand out.
But I also have a question about his teammates.
Yeah.
So his teammates, you know, I think the GM came out and said, "Oh my God, it's shocking." Which I guess he has to say that.
Because he won't
say it. But you tell me, there's no one in the organization that's going to go up to him and be like, "Hey man, notice that you're doing really well. You're exceeding expectations by a long shot."
Remember when you were just the fat pudgy fourth outfielder of the Yankees? Like now, you're just.
Are you doing like yoga, Pilates?
Well,
the GM though, he was
being praised as a genius.
Yeah,
I got this guy for Jonathan Sanchez. There's no way. Even in his mind, he probably convinced himself, I am this good at being a GM. I stole him right away for Jonathan Sanchez, who got released by the Royals, and they can't pitch at all. So the GM, I think that's not even just him saying it to say it. I really think he's like, is this saying that I'm maybe not as great as a GM? I mean, or he just is like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trade mediocre pitchers for guys I know do steroids and just throw enough against
roll
the wall.
Roll the dice.
Just roll the dice. Hope they pan out. Bartolo Colon will be a Giant next year.
Yeah, but say you're a teammate and you're like, you've got a hunch and you just know for a fact that someone's on something.
Yeah.
Do you just casually say something and say.
No, why would you?
Yeah.
No way. No way would I do that.
But even if it jeopardizes.
I think that, A, if he's not doing it, you're jeopardizing being
in a relationship with him,
in the clubhouse. B, if he is doing it and he's not getting caught, it's none of your business, man.
Yeah.
That's my thing. It's none of your business. It's none of this. My business is Buster Posey to say, you know what I mean? Maybe you give some sort of locker room speech, like, guys, we're making this run here. Don't do anything stupid.
Don't do anything to jeopardize.
But you can't pull the guy aside, I don't think.
I don't know. I feel like I would feel compelled to say something like, hey man, I just want to make sure that you're doing you,
you're
but
being,
not effing us.
Yeah, right. We're gonna run here. We got Hunter Pence. We got Marco Scudero. We're here to win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We made some deals. One quick last segue as we're on steroids. Can we segue that to the Sugarland Skeeters?
Yes, we can.
Can I quickly talk about Roger Clemens?
Yeah.
Now, it's funny, the Sugarland Skeeters. You might not have ever heard of the Sugarland Skeeters.
They have one of the best team names I've ever heard of, yeah. I think they're owned by Little John, right? Aren't they owned by Little John?
I would assume Paul Wall is a minority owner.
I thought it was like, you know, in rec softball, they have companies have like team stuff. I thought it was like, you know, Vivid Entertainment's
Sugarland Skeeters. So I went to one Bridgeport Bluefish game this year.
Okay.
Their independent league team, and that's actually who Roger Clemens is going to face. And I went with my little nephew, my father, my brother. It was cool, you know, you go see the game. Baseball's not great, it's like low A ball, but go there. And who do they play? The Sugarland Skeeters. And that's the only, I'll never forget the name Sugarland Skeeters.
Yeah.
My little nephew's 4 years old walking around with a program that says Sugarland Skeeters on it. So, yeah, and then sure enough, Sugarland Skeeters. I'm like, how is it possible? In the last month, I've heard the words Sugarland Skeeters twice, two different accounts. It's amazing. Now, what is he doing?
Well, I think that's why he signed with them. He saw what kind of clientele comes to the ball game. He's like, I got to get my name out there.
I think the Tri-State Sports guys are behind me. They were the only guys behind me. What are you behind you, Roger?
I need some publicity, and it's a Maritime. Hoping for an interview, maybe.
I'm hoping to maybe.
See, the Astros are sending a scout over there, too.
Are they?
Yeah, I just saw it a little while ago. They're going to send a scout over there and check him out.
Now,
see how he looks.
I would think that the Yankees would also be in the hunt here.
Let me. This might be a dumb question because they're not affiliated. You know, the independent league's not affiliated with any team. Does this reset his? You know, you got to be retired 5 years to be eligible for the Hall of Fame. Does this reset it, or does he have to play for a major league affiliated team?
Got to be major league, right?
Got to be right. Yeah. Well, whatever they get picked up, pitched two innings, then it resets it. Maybe in the back of his mind. He's thinking, because there's going to be clearly when he's eligible.
I want to strike out Jose Canseco one more time.
Let's go. But if he's saying, maybe he says to himself, I don't want to be part of that first wave of steroids guys that they have to have this big debate. You know, Mark McGwire is there. Bonds is coming up on it. All these guys are going to. Maybe he says, if I reset it, getting me another 5 years, in 5 years, they'll be letting everybody in, and I'll just slide right in. Roger Clemens, the Rocket. Slide right in. Wearing a Sugar Land Skeeters hat on a bus. I don't know. I could be completely wrong. It might not reset it. We could probably look that up. It just part of my little conspiracy thing. Like, why would he possibly do that? He's going to throw 84.
I think
it's cool, man.
That's a sign, to me, that's a sign of, like, domestic problems. Like, he just doesn't want to be around his
wife. Yeah, that happens a lot. Yeah.
Which, that stinks, because she looks like she has a pretty tight bod. But, I mean, he's cheated on her in the past.
She's fake up top. She used to show him off at parties. That was in the report.
Man, I'm going to the wrong party.
You're on the wrong Metro North train. I think. You're on the wrong Metro North.
Yeah.
Did you say you saw them pitch? You saw
the Sugar Land Skeeters play in Bridgeport.
His first game is against.
I know. Yeah, that's crazy. It's down in Texas. Yeah. But that's the team I saw. It was like late June. They were playing up in Bridgeport.
On the cover of their Bridgeport.
Oh, are you kidding me? Hey, I mean, they're fired up.
Oh, that's great. What a trip to Texas to watch Roger.
Can we enter? We should just enter and just go Tri-State Sports.
Robo-enter.
And just get microphones in his face, our flip camera, right in his grill.
Why don't you love your wife?
Stay home, mow the lawn.
So, okay, that's a pretty messed up story. Makes it say WTF.
Yeah.
Or maybe even, dude, are you serious?
New segment?
That's a new segment that we'd like to roll out. It's called Dude, Are You Serious? These are, you know, I'm on the internet constantly. I sleep and I'm still surfing the internet.
We got a caller. Can I interrupt you here?
Yeah, why not interrupt my new segment?
We got
that we're trying to roll out.
It's a non-local number. This could be Roger Clemens.
Roger, you're effing me over, dude.
Roger, this floor is yours. Who do we got on the line with us here?
Who's speaking, guys?
Is this Roger Clemens?
Is that Mike D?
This is Mike D.
Mike D, it's Skippy calling from Chicago.
Oh, Skip now. How we doing, buddy? What's the good word out there in Chi-Town?
Oh, well, doing all right. How about you guys?
You know, we're just living life down here in Norwalk, Connecticut. I mean, Neil is ready to buy a house right next door to me. He loves it so much.
Right on. Where's O? Where's Big O?
O is no longer with us. It's a little
passed away.
Subject. Why don't you bring that up again? Now he didn't have time to deal with us on the show anymore. We had some differences where we envisioned this show going. I wanted a segment called Dude, Are You Serious? And Neil is bringing that to the table. So O is no longer with us. He might contribute here and there, but he's no longer a full time cast member here on the show.
Okay, it wasn't over the potato sack dispute or anything like that.
That was the beginning of the end. That was our peak.
No, but anyways, the reason I called is the Hall of Fame eligibility thing. It's 5 years from the major leagues. It doesn't matter what you do in the minor leagues.
Oh, it doesn't. So for him to reset it, he'd actually have to, the Astros have to go out and see him, pick him up for next year, which will never happen.
Yeah.
So that didn't affect it. So why is he doing it then, Skippy?
Well, I don't know. You know, the conspiracy theory I heard is that they have him and a couple other former major league flameouts there, and they're supposed to do some sort of cook-off. I read something about a cook-off, and then one of them was going to get one of the Astros starts in September, but that's so far-fetched, and I just don't see that happening. But
that this is a long way to go for a cookout.
That is a circus right there.
The Sugar Land Skeeters, when I saw them play, they had a sidearmer pitching, literally throwing no harder than 82 miles an hour. So Roger's clearly their ace.
The Chad Brad?
Hey, Chad Brad would have dominated in this game. Well, Skip, thanks for that information. Both of those things I didn't know. It shows me. I don't know how the Hall of Fame works. But the more you hear about this, you know, hit us up on the Facebook page or the website, Skip. We'd love to hear from you, bud.
Right on.
All right. Well, there you
Take
go.
Care,
there
fellas.
You
have it.
There's Skippy from
Chi-Town.
From Chi-Town. Buddy of ours, but he's been on the message board a lot. He's a fan of the show. He is actually a big fan of O. He used to like the he was a defender of the potato sack race from the very beginning. He was in the minority there. But, you know, Midwest, it's like a whole different world out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, and I think he skips from Detroit, which I don't know if that's still America. It's a rough. Last I saw, there was a story that it was taken over by, like,
Russian
dogs.
Koreans.
There were whole neighborhoods
Russian
that were abandoned that these dogs
Russian
took
dogs.
Over. I'm telling you, Tone, look it up. There's neighborhoods in Detroit, well, you can't go because there's just dogs took it over.
You sound like Ron Burgundy right now. You sound like Ron Burgundy.
They were taken over by dogs.
A La Jolla man clings to life. That's what you sound like.
They were taken over by dogs. That's a true story.
They have, like, gang bandanas, like, reds and blues, and they're just, like...
It's like an 80s movie over there.
People are, like, bringing them goods
it's
and
like,
gifts.
Warriors! You gotta walk through, and one of the gangs, you have to get through with a gang of dogs.
That's some Dark Knight Rises type stuff right there.
Look it up, my man.
Spoiler alert.
Put it on DudeAreYouSerious.com. All right, so now that we... I mean, that was a great call, so we are happy to do that. But now let's get back to Dude, Are You Serious? So you were saying introduce this segment all over again?
Yeah, so I'm like an internet junkie. I'm on... I'm
you know about
24/7.
Memes.
I know memes. but that's like basic novice type stuff. Mike.
Right.
So I come across, you know, bajillion stories that are just off the wall because it's the internet and that's where weird belongs.
Yep.
And so I've...
Like my dog story.
I've picked out a couple headlines that I think that I had to click on because I didn't believe it.
Yeah. So how many viruses did you get on researching this?
Half a dozen. This is my third computer of the week. So first story is, and this is, I try to keep them sports related, and this is like loosely tied to sports. So
this guy played Little League?
I'll preface that. Is weightlifting a sport? Yeah.
Of course it's a sport. In the Olympics, dude. I told you one of my favorite events was the Iranians just dominating.
The new study... that shows that watching porn helps men lift heavier weights.
So every man can lift heavier weights. I mean, so you're just judging everyone except Tim Tebow. Well, that's why I think the story's wrong. The only guy in America who doesn't is Tim Tebow, and he lifts more than anyone we know.
See, I want to be like this PC guy or try to be cool about it and say, oh, I have a friend that watches a lot of porn. No, I watch a lot of porn.
But... So you have three computers. Yeah. You have your good boy computer and your bad boy computer.
Sometimes I get it mixed up, and it's like, oh, boy. Sorry, Mom.
I thought I was Skyping you.
But here's the thing. I watch a lot, and I am just weak from head to toe.
But do you lift, or you just think? It's not like you can't just take steroids and not lift and get big. You still got to hit the gym.
For real? I still got to lift.
You still got to lift.
All right.
So you hit the sights.
Like, I don't have a power reserve stored away, like,
yeah,
somewhere.
It just releases.
It just releases that.
Yeah, no.
I'm not going to be able to lift a car off a baby or something.
I hadn't heard. I don't remember, like, strength coaches in college recommending that. But that might be what kept me out of, the majors.
But so here's the big point of contention. So it's just...
Here's the big point of contention.
Right. So it's like...
The first is a given. That's just a fact.
There are a couple questions that go along with that. So it's like, do you have to come to fruition to gain that strength, because most people say, hey, when I have released,
yeah,
I become weaker, right? So
yeah,
in my mind, you got to hold it in. You got to be strong mentally and then hit the gym, which, I mean,
that can't be true either. How could you get enough people to get a good sample size that would be willing to go through that study? I think you can get about, I don't believe this story. And that's got to give you a virus.
And that's the internet. I mean, half the stories are fake anyway.
Did you get that from The Onion?
I think that was The Onion, yeah.
Okay, well.
So transitioning from that, we have Andrew Luck, who drew a doodle of Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah.
And it auctioned off, sold for 1,500 bones.
Who bought that for their kid?
Who bought it? Well, who's to say that a guy bought it for his kid? This guy, I think Andrew Luck has a legitimate stalker on his hands.
Oh, yeah.
That's got deep pockets.
Yeah. He's just
putting on lipstick.
Yep.
Cleaning his rifle.
And just like, okay.
The good thing is, though, I saw when Indianapolis...
Some big Peyton Manning fan. That's who it is.
Yeah.
And he's getting darts thrown at that thing.
He's like getting a surgically enhanced five head. And just, you know, not moving his neck. I've seen Indianapolis security. They have snipers.
Is that right?
They have snipers. They showed it on Deadspin, I think. They have snipers where they have the little crow's nest up above, and it's just like pointed directly
in the dome.
In the dome. So if this
is that just a Super Bowl? That's just any game. It might have been just the Super Bowl.
I'm saying,
yeah, but they have the ability.
They have the resources.
They got it there
to take this dude out.
Some guy's gonna pull out a piece of paper and it's gonna have that picture on it, and it's just one in the back of the ear.
You think everyone thinks it's a gun? It's just a doodle, and he just gets nailed like 50 times.
It's just a doodle.
Blaze of glory.
There's just doodle flying all over the place.
So, keeping with the money angle, finances, you know, people just apparently in a horrible economy spending dough like it ain't no thing.
Turning it around.
LeBron's new shoes.
$3.25
$315 with all the trinkets and gizmos.
It's special limited edition, though.
It tells you how many steps you took or something like that.
Does it really?
Yeah. There's something about it.
I thought they were special.
It says something. It's got some sort of thing, and it tells you like how many steps you've taken.
Well, that also gives you a huge forehead. When you put it on, it just automatically.
Yeah.
You're receding the balls.
And you age. If you're 25, you look 45.
Yeah.
They're talking about, you know, shoe buyers. I know people that are even, you know, friends of mine that still are into sneakers a lot. Like, you know, we'll go out and get the new Jordans and all.
This guy
behind the glass.
You don't know how many times we get the email, hey, guys, can't make the show. And we're like, oh, my God, Death in the Family is like shoe convention.
Yeah, every time.
every shoe expo.
Every Wednesday in the city at a shoe convention.
Sorry.
Wiping up the
Frenchies.
Yeah.
I have to go buy Warren Sapp's shoe collection.
Yeah, the regular LeBrons are $120. That's just like the cheapies if you want to go. They might as well be Stan Smith's. The nice ones are $315, and they have something. I'm telling you, I heard it on the radio today.
Motion sensing technology in it. So it tells you, like.
Oh, there you go.
Tells you if you're running.
They shoot down Scud missiles.
What are the motion sensor to do? Like, you are now running. Like, oh, cool. I thought I was skipping.
Yeah. I don't know. Run faster. You are fat.
Well, they're also
that's what it should tell you every time you step.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Well, now that Adidas is coming out with a new shoe where it allows athletes to tweet during events, but I'm not really sure about the technical aspects. The video I watched didn't really explain it. It just showed like a little screen on the side of the shoe that just like that just displays tweets.
It would taps of your toes.
So yeah, it's like you got to be like. Gregory Hines and taps in order to like dole out retweets and stuff. So
you a sneaker guy? When's the last time you bought a pair of sneakers? Honestly, any sneakers?
He'll spit in my face. I don't even remember the last time I bought sneakers. I wish that my feet could be sneakers.
Yeah,
I'm not high right now, but like I just don't. Damn it, you know.
I don't like.
I go through shoes, but I just can't throw them out. I look like a hobo out there.
I'm always shoe and sockless. At any time I'm available, even when I get to my office. Shoes come off. I'm walking around with just socks.
We're just a couple of hippies.
That's it.
Caught up in a commercial world.
That's it. Just trying to do a podcast, my man. All right, segue that into something new.
Yikes. Kobe dropped 68 in a Chinese charity game. Here's the kicker. There are two 15-minute halves, running clock. He didn't even play in the first half. So he scored 68 points.
That can't be
in
true,
15 guys. Minutes real time.
That can't
do
be
the true. Math on that.
It can't be a true.
Did story. Anyone else touch the ball?
He was evidently. I couldn't do that in an open gym. Just me. I don't think I could put in 68 going up and down the court
with no one else around.
Yeah, just moving up and down the court in 15-minute running.
I couldn't do 68 layups in 15 minutes.
Yeah, no, I couldn't either.
And apparently,
what was it for now?
I think it was to raise money to get Melky.
It was
to lawyer fee.
Free Melky. And it was in the same town that the LeBron shoes were made. So they were like drumming up some business profit.
Well, so here's my point, right? Everyone complains that the sneakers are too expensive, but that's with child labor.
Yeah.
Can you imagine with like regular labor what it would be?
And you remember, everybody made fun, and we've made fun of him on the show, Starberry. Came out with his Starberries for $20 because he was doing it for the people. And all everybody remembers is they like to eat chapstick. What he used to eat? Chapstick, right? Yeah. Starberry, that's all anybody remembers. The guy was trying to do something right for the people.
Vaseline.
He would just eat Vaseline.
I was going to say, I'll eat chapstick.
No, this was just, I eat Vaseline. And he'd just eat it. You never saw that crazy clip of him?
Oh, great. He was scooping it up,
dude, just eating Vaseline. But he was doing something good for the people. He was doing right by his people. $20.
So, a Pee Wee Football League.
Yeah.
Sorry for no segue on that one. I mean, you lose some, you win some. The Pee Wee Football League has banned a 300-pound kid for being too big. Now, here's my take on this. How is this a story? Because I'm pretty sure when we were growing up that they had weight limits.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. There always was weight limits.
What?
It was actually separated by weight.
It's all different now.
So well, there's
now,
two different. There is, I know
there's Pop Warner, which is still done by weight limit. And then there's like, there's no one Pop Warner in Norwalk. And it's like, so now it's just like youth football.
Mm-hmm.
And that's broken up by grades.
By grades. So
yeah.
It's not even age. It's
no,
grades.
Yeah, it's grade. So.
See, because I was.
You had to get on a scale every game before you were playing.
I was in eighth grade and I was going to like saunas.
Yeah.
And like just running up and down. I was eating water.
You
it was like.
In and you're weighing in your underwear. I mean, it was like, it was serious. Like you had to be in under that weight.
Yeah.
It was,
and then I'd go into the woods and put on my like net cowboy neck roll and
exactly right.
brass knuckles.
Exactly right.
Played quarterback, just handed the ball off.
No, I was stuck on the D line back then. They didn't understand.
You are a Cinderella story.
I am rags to riches, my man. But so. Here's the thing. Everyone's like, oh, you know, I mean, 300 pounds. That's not like, oh, he weighs 200 pounds. Like, that's like,
so
I don't care if he can't block or if he can't move. If he falls on someone, that kid's dead.
That's a dead kid.
That's a dead kid on your field.
That's a dead kid. I understand.
That's the end of the league.
Yeah, I understand that.
Did you see the kid? The picture of the kid? I got to see if I can find
him. I heard he's got like 3% body fat.
Huge. Like, somebody you'd not want to be facing.
So he's not even a fatty.
No, he's tall.
You can't even, like, bounce off him.
He would beat you up. So we're talking, it's got to be under 12, right?
How is someone not escorting this guy to, like, to the New York Jets facility?
I'll tell you what, Lane Kiffin already has this kid's phone number.
This kid is replacing Wayne Hunter week one.
He probably is. He'll probably see a video of him just getting housed.
I guess we'll do maybe one or two more, but Showtime is canceling the franchise, which is the Miami Marlins show.
Yeah. Did you watch any of it?
I didn't want. Well, I don't get Showtime, but.
I get Showtime. I just started getting it, and I thought to myself, I'm going to start. They gave me like a free package, whatever it was. So I'm like, all right. So I'm like, I'm going to watch this show, and I kept thinking I'm going to DVR it because I like Hard Knocks so much. It's like, you know. One of my favorite shows, no matter what team is on. And then I'm thinking, this has got to be great. Everything that's going on this story, they must not do a good job on it because you couldn't get a more interesting story than the Marlins this year. You know what I mean? You got this new stadium. They spend all this money, and within 2.5 months, they sold it all off again. You got crazy odds.
I mean, this
they
is
must
like,
do a terrible job.
Yeah, this is like the.
I don't know anybody that watches it. Have you ever been like on the Metro North and so?
But don't people like they like looking at car accidents? Right, they can't take their eyes
can't
off
take
it.
Right.
This is like a
that's what I mean. I would think it couldn't be any
pile
better.
Up.
Yeah.
So you would think that an organization imploding couldn't be any better.
Like Hard Knocks with the whole thing happening with Chad Johnson is the best thing that could happen.
Yeah.
Because everybody tuned in. They were leaking that portion before the show came out last week. So that's the best thing that could happen is a car wreck like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, you know. Resort. All I have to do is resort to the Marlins cheerleaders. Would be like, hey, okay, the season's over, so now we're just going to focus on the cheerleaders and what they do with their clothes.
You can
on.
Give me, if it's an hour show, you can give me 30 minutes of the fish tank. I'll just put it on in the background of my house while I'm eating.
Just get a live stream of the fish tank.
Just little Nemo swimming around.
Like greasy dudes with ponytails, like macking.
That's it, man.
There's the kid right there, 6'1", 297.
And that's a regular size football, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, he's a big
huge.
Dude. But
he
I mean, he's fat. But I was thinking
he's tall. Like, I gotta get see my. Name.
He doesn't have like the big. You know, like when little kids are really big, they usually have gigantic feet.
Yeah.
It's like he just because his feet
like,
aren't big.
No shape to them.
Yeah. No,
like one big orb.
God bless that kid. We're gonna see him. Something.
Yeah,
get
that kid's name.
I'm sure HBO. With Bryant Gumbel's doing a special on it right now.
Well, we were
he's
talking
gonna
about
that fake thing where he pretends he's writing something down. And he's gonna take the glasses off. No, let me ask you.
Man, that guy is the worst.
He is the worst. He made one of my top 10 least favorite. He made all of ours. He is the worst. What is he writing down? You know something? The first time he's watching this is with us.
He
just like takes his glasses off. Let me finish whatever my thought here, and
he's doodling dongs, my man. I guarantee you.
He's trying to get something on eBay for $1,500.
Talking about the worst, here's my final days, dude. Are you serious? Ryan Lochte trademarking the word Gio.
No, he's not.
J-E-A-H.
Gio.
What?
Now, he got that from a, Lil Wayne song, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Lil Wayne, he clarified. Lil Wayne says Chia. C-H-E-A-H. But he tweaked
the hard
it.
J.
He tweaked it and made a G. And they asked him, well, what does it mean? He goes, well, it can mean anything.
What is he talking about? I'm completely confused. Now, you, who's going to take that? Is there going to be T-shirts? And he's like, I got to get a piece of that.
See, this is where I needed. I wish I took more legal law courses in
my
time.
We got a lot of lawyer friends.
We have a lot of lawyer friends.
Actually, Skippy, I think it's a lawyer. Skip, if you're still listening, call in again and tell us about what the purpose of this guy trademarking the phrase Gia.
Gia! So can you? So you can't put it
I'm
on.
I'm so glad it's on camera because the face you make when
I can't say it normal.
Say
oh, normal.
No,
yeah. Say normal.
I can't. I'm not even saying you say it.
Here, so here's me say it normal. Yeah. No, you don't get it. You don't
you
get the effect.
You gotta get into it when you say
it. It's kind of like you're getting shocked a little bit.
I'm surprised you could duplicate that face. If I could duplicate that face, it'd be my driver's license picture. Next time you get hold on, just give me three, give me a countdown from three. Three, two, one.
I'll get out a lot of tickets that way. So, yeah, that's my first.
Dude, I'm serious. I loved it. I loved every part of it. I loved your segues. You segued right from the Skeeters to your crazy weightlifting segment, which I like a lot. Well, now we're going to segue. You got some say what, Tom?
I got a couple.
I'm going to move the mic over and keep you off camera because you like to be behind the glass, but we're going to move the mic over so we get everybody.
Yeah. He has a couple warrants out there.
We'll,
so.
Yeah. We'll start with...
Oh, he ain't exactly street legal.
We'll start with Coop's boy, Deshaun Jackson, who admits that he dogged it last year. He says, I let it get to me even though I tried not to. I was trying to protect myself from getting hurt. Now I'm just giving it my all. Now that he's got a contract, he is fully committed to the Eagles.
Now. See, but here's the thing, and I don't know when it happened. I guess it happened in the mid to late 90s when agents came to the forefront of the sports world, and it was all for the sake of the athletes, for the players, because they were getting hosed. And if you, I mean, take Brad Benson, for instance, in his Hyundai commercials. I mean, the guy has to run a car dealership. His commercials are awesome, by the way. But
we could debate that.
All right, I don't know. I mean,
all right, go ahead. Tune in for the deleted scenes, folks.
But, you know, he has to do a car dealership. You have guys that are, we consider icons and legends that have to make public appearance at the public appearance at the sell and whatnot. And so that's when the sports, and that's one of the things I hate most about the sports world right now, is that you have guys that decide, hey, I'm going to turn on my athleticism because I'm in a contract year. And it's like,
it amazes me.
It hurts games, it hurts leagues.
What I think the problem is there's no gray area
and
at all.
And not to interrupt you, but if you're an Eagles fan, that's got to piss you off.
Yeah.
Because you had a chance to make the playoffs last year. The 100%. Giants and Cowboys were not running away with that division.
Yeah.
They finished, the Eagles.
They were in all those games that they lost early on. They were in.
And if they make the playoffs, they make a run. They could have made a run in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I've never been a Deshaun Jackson guy. He actually.
I hate him. I almost ran onto the field and suplexed that a-hole when he did that in 2010 when he ran back the punt, the game-winning punt.
He ran along the end zone. But I think he's a waste of talent, for one. I think that, you know, you'll see him on the highlight reels, but I'd never want – I actually compare him to Santonio Holmes in that, you know, you look at him like, oh, this like Santonio Holmes won a Super Bowl MVP, you know, for that great catch. But nobody talks about the fact that he dropped the play before, which would have won the game too. He talks about that great catch he made. And I think Deshaun Jackson is the same type of guy. He disappears in games. I had an argument at my fantasy football draft. You know, we're always like arguing, oh, stupid pick. And somebody drafted him really high, and I said, the guy's not that good. And they're yelling at me, oh, he's so good. I'm like, I'm telling you, the guy just doesn't play. But I think what the story shows, and it's like there's no gray area there. You're either a guy who plays for the love of the game, or you're the guy for the money, and there's never an in between. And I don't necessarily. I understand where the guy's coming from. I understand, like, Maurice Jones-Drew holding out, and I don't fault him for it. Yeah. Guy led the league in rushing, deserves another contract. Even Chris Johnson last year, because you do want to, you know, you know that your career's short, one play away from ending it, none of this is guaranteed, you got to get
especially
your money
with all the concussion talk.
Right. But once you get on the field, I can't imagine not giving
100%. I can't imagine that the adrenaline not kicking in and you just giving it your all. I don't know. It seems weird.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of his. What else you got, Tom?
How about this? So we got Roddy White the other night at Sunday Night Football, Colts and the Steelers. I guess they showed a little montage of Todd Haley getting you know, into like verbal arguments on the field with different players. So Roddy White must have been watching the game. He tweets,
Todd Haley's problem is that he really thinks coaches win games and not players. When he realizes he doesn't win games, then he will be fine. So what do you, I mean, what do you guys think?
I think Atlanta should just tell their coaches, hey, take a chill, take a vacay for 4 months.
Hot Rod's got
and
this
we
one.
We got it.
Roddy's got this one. Now, the reason I think that's stupid is, and we've had this argument before, of all sports, a football coach clearly has the biggest impact on his team. I really think the baseball manager has the least impact on the team. I don't know enough about hockey, but people that know hockey know line changes and all this stuff, and that is very important. I think a basketball coach is very important. But football coach, literally, I mean, you look at colleges. You look at it like Nick Saban goes to Alabama. They had all those down years after being the story prince. He comes in and immediately they're great. You know, you look at the guys, you know, Urban Meyer going, and you could just turn around a franchise and you look at what Harbaugh did last year. That's just such a ridiculous comment to make out of any sport. If you want to say that about Bobby, like people blaming Bobby Valentine, you know, whatever. Anybody can manage a bullpen. Anybody knows a double switch.
Right, yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff. Football is legitimately game planning, scheming every week. Mid game, making decisions, doing all those things.
And as crazy as it sounds, you think like these guys don't need motivation. They get paid millions and they get to be on the national stage, but they do. They're still human. They still need someone poking at them, prodding them, and finding that whatever it is inside them to bring it out.
100%.
You need that kind of guy.
100%. You look at guys.
I went to Jim Fossil during the 2000 season. All right, the Giants were 8-4. And a lot of people were panicking. They were saying they're going to miss the playoffs. And he comes out and he makes a statement, you know, we're going to get in.
Yeah.
And as a player, you're like, whoa, I mean, that's not a typical coach something to say during a press conference. And I think they rallied around him and they won the division. They got home field advantage and then they crapped the bed in the Super Bowl. But the thing that sticks out to me with Todd Haley, and they were saying this all throughout the game, Gruden and Tirico, is that Ben Roethlisberger – needs him to come in and light a fire under him? Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's why they brought in Todd Haley? Because Big Ben is the problem?
Yeah, Big Ben's been the problem over there, yeah. Clearly, he doesn't know how to win. That's silly.
I mean, I made a lot of stupid comments, but I can't buy into that.
That is I didn't stand and watch any of the games, so I didn't
No,
stand
but
that,
they
but
said that, and I was like, that is, you're dumb. And
it's
I
a
think
dumb
that's,
comment.
100%
dumb comment.
Yeah.
How about A-Rod? In a recent poll by Sports Illustrated, A-Rod got voted phoniest player in baseball. Now, not that it comes as a surprise, but with 26% of the votes, he's phoniest player in baseball, followed by Nick Swisher at 14%.
See, I thought it would have been reversed. Like, I go back and forth on Swisher.
Me too. Swisher's a guy, sometimes I'm like, I understand why people hate him. And it's like, you know, he's forcing this. I'm so cool funny and all this. But then I think that maybe he is like that. You know what I mean? Clearly, A-Rod's so phony that it's almost not even phony.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so phony.
That's really
so it's like, no, yeah, he's just a dorky guy who happens to be a ridiculously good athlete. But he's an awkward, socially awkward guy. I mean, if you really want to, and it'll piss off Yankee fan, if you really talk about phony, it's Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
This guy is the same guy who gives away goodie baskets to girls that he hooks up with. But he's Mr. Class and Mr. Leader. Oh, all he does is carry himself with class.
Honestly, I think there's gotta be a hidden camera type thing that goes on with him sometime down the road where people catch him.
I have
for who he is.
A strong source, person that I trust, told me he knows definitely from a close friend of his, a girl who hooked up with Derek Jeter. 100%. She's like, this girl's a smoke show. Get back to Derek Jeter's apartment. He walks towards the bathroom. He flips a little basket full of condoms and just says, pick a color. I'll meet you in the bedroom. All class. This guy's all class. Pick a color. I'll meet you in the bedroom.
Well, at least he lets her get to pick a color.
He did. I would have gone Mets orange if I was there. Yeah, Ray Ordonez.
I got my own condom.
I would have gone, boom, boom, boom.
All right, how about Kurt Warner real quick on Kevin Cobb? I see the same thing I saw last year. I see a guy who hasn't been able to grasp the system enough to slow the game down, or he doesn't have the confidence in what he's seeing. Says he's basically afraid to pull the trigger.
Yeah, he's doomed. Skelton's got the job. I mean,
Yeah, and you know, it shows you what kind of quarterback Kurt Warner was. I mean, that's a terrible franchise, one of the worst franchises in all sports. I couldn't get it right. The only time they got it right was when Kurt Warner was there.
Yeah.
They go out and they trade Rogers Cromartie and like a second round pick, and then they give him a huge $50 million contract, bulk of it guaranteed, for a guy who had three starts.
You know, he gets paid the same amount as Aaron Rodgers this year?
Well, he should.
You know,
he could just pull the trigger.
The same amount of money as Aaron Rodgers, he gets paid.
All he needs to do is pull the trigger, bro.
I heard that the other day. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And I looked it up, and yeah, they get paid the same amount.
Kurt Warner saying, yeah, man, that was pretty good, huh?
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Jesus. I got one more for you. Now, because I have to do this. Bobby Valentine, I hate the guy. Never liked him. Never liked him.
Stanford.
Even though he's local, Stanford. I cannot stand the guy. So, you know, I guess this is a pitching coach who had to take 2 weeks because they had, you know, a sick baby, infant, whatever, which Bobby Valentine then refers to as a 2 week vacation.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I swear.
He's
2 week
a bad
vacation.
Guy.
Actually, he made a mention of McClure's 2 week vacation before he actually corrected himself about it. But, I mean, this guy going to last? Any guy's done after this year? What do you think?
He needs to have his own show, right?
You know, he was getting paid a ridiculous amount of money at ESPN. He's just one of the most unlikable guys there is.
Yeah.
Like, anywhere he goes, he leaves a path of nobody likes him.
Any other normal person would have seen that quote in their head, and they would have been like, nah, that's not going to happen.
Not the guy that guy running for Senate
it.
Out in Missouri.
He sees
him
it.
And Bobby V should run on a ticket together. Next.
Oh, the legitimate race.
Yeah. That'd be something that he would say.
Unbelievable.
Because he's so smart, he would figure something out. No.
Unreal. That's it. You guys, that's it. We'll end it with that idiot.
Wow. I'll tell you, we turned south. I'll tell you what. Works for Bobby V. He coaches a team, and it's run through Bobby V's. So he knows him well. He, like, meets with him all the time. Last year he did before, you know, he had this job. And he said, he goes, you know, he actually is a nice guy. He's like, and he's so smart.
He just likes playing the heel.
He likes being the villain. It's almost like he plays a game. Like,
I guess that's his strategy, though. Like, that's his strategy.
And
too.
It works so well because he got so many rings.
Yeah, okay.
All right, now you want to segue into our top 10, or you want me to?
All right, so don't ever sleep on Bobby V, and you don't want to sleep on these sleepers, fantasy football.
That'll work.
Yeah, why not?
Give us one more. Try to do one more. Try to do one more segue.
Bobby V.
This is tough.
Bobby V.
When you need to get your Z's.
You get exactly. Is this a mattress commercial? I don't know what happened. All right, so Bobby V will piss you off.
Yeah.
But our top 10 picks for the best fantasy football sleepers won't. You'll be pleasantly surprised.
I think that works.
I don't know.
I think we got a winner there between that and all that. So we went with.
You don't want my third one.
My third one involves the Sugarland Skeeters.
There's a 300-pound kid.
All right, let me walk you through this. All right, so we decided to go. We got a lot of fantasy football drafts happening between now and our next show. I'm actually doing two. I have one on Saturday.
And mine last night.
There you go.
I had one already, too.
Tony D had one already. Neil's got one. I got two between now and our next show. So we figured we're going to give you top 10 sleepers. We've defined it by they have to be outside of the top 50 of ESPN. So that means you guys are...
Yeah, I didn't even look. I'm just assuming that these guys are out.
Oh, I got this guy Aaron Rodgers. So you know, guys are going to get mid-rounds or later. So you want to start us off?
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead, buddy.
So the first two on my list, the 10 and 9, are name players. You're going to recognize their names, but for one reason or another, they are not ranked very high, and because there's that rookie element to them.
Yeah.
All rookies, you don't really know how they're going to pan out.
Yep.
Are they going to be, you know, a Maurice Claret, or are they going to be, you know, a Cam Newton?
AP, yeah.
So number 10, I have Andrew Luck, quarterback in Indianapolis Colts.
He's ranked very low.
He's ranked very low, and so far he's looked like he's got it down pat.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like a guy entering his rookie season, and I know it's preseason, and there's only so much you can take away from that, but wow.
Hey,
he's impressive.
He's a guy, and you know what? I mean, and not that I'm comparing him to Cam Newton, but he's a guy. The guys that drafted Cam Newton late last year is like, okay, I'm going to stick him in the backup. You don't want to draft Andrew Luck as your starting quarterback.
Right.
But you're going to need to draft two.
Yeah.
You're going to take Andrew Luck late. And you're going to be able to get him late.
Yeah.
Because when that second wave of backups goes, people aren't going to want to jump the gun because they're going to say this Colts are so bad. So I like that. He didn't make my top 10. I like that.
Number 9, a lot of people might say that he should have been the 10 and Luck should be the 9. But number 9, I have RG3.
Okay.
RG3, for one reason or another, I mean, you would think given Cam Newton's success last year and how he just blew up, that would benefit RG3 and he would be higher ranked. But for some reason, I don't know if it's because he's on the Redskins, but
you got to play the Giants D twice. Got to play the Philly D.
Eagles. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's in a tough division, but at the same time, I know it's only preseason, but he's looked really good. He had 116 rating, QB rating, in the first game, and he's already talking about how he needs to improve.
He's a guy I do like. I think he's going to get you rushing yards and rushing touchdowns, which helps. You know, usually most formats you're getting a point for every 10 yards rushing as opposed to 25 for passing. So, you know, if you can get 40, 50 yards rushing, that's, you know.
And that's what gave him the edge over Luck.
Yeah.
But the thing is, a lot of people think of Luck as this pocket passer. The problem is he scrambles.
Yeah.
He's got some wheels on him. I mean, he's not going to be the kind of guy that scrambles his entire career, but he's a young guy and he can run for first downs.
So. Yeah.
Number 8, I have James Starks, running back, Green Bay Packers.
Familiar with James
Starks. I think he's going to be battling with Cedric Benson. For the number 1 spot. I honestly think he's going to beat Cedric out.
I think so, too. Cedric didn't get in there till late, right? He didn't play until July.
And you look at the playing time that Starks got. He performed. He produced, and he did really well.
You're doing that just to kiss. James Starks.
Yeah.
Loved him. Talking about him in the playoffs. This guy's going to be loved him. Said he was going to be a 1,000-yard rusher. We used to do an update every week last year. How close is he to 1,000 yards? God, I thought I got rid of that guy. All right, go ahead.
You got the spirit of Owen.
It is.
I just need to make a couple of.
Yeah, you smile way too much. Yeah. He couldn't give the jaw face.
Number seven, I have Jonathan Baldwin, Kansas City wide receiver.
Sure.
People were really high on him. It seems like every game that I watched, every Chiefs game I watched that, you know, Monday Night Football or whatever, that people were saying, this guy's going to be great.
Yeah.
And the only problem was, I think it was his attitude or the way he ran routes. There was something holding him back. And it looked like he was going to be their number one until Dwayne Bowe signed the 1-year contract. Even with Bowe signing the 1-year contract, he's going to receive the majority of that attention. And so I think Baldwin's going to benefit from that. Number 6, I have Donald Brown, running back, Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, UConn. Yes, sir.
UConn, Husky. And you know, even with Adai in the mix, when he was in the mix, Brown was the guy that was switching it up, who is the change of pace. He's quick. He can, and I see him being, and I hate to say it, more kind of like a Tiki Barber-esque type player that is on the brink of hitting that next level. And I think the combination of him with Andrew Luck.
He's pretty much the man there too, right?
Yeah.
There's nobody.
I don't really see anyone else competing for the job. Yeah. And I see him not only rushing. He's not going to rush for 1,000 yards. But he's the kind of guy where he's going to be utilized in goal line situations. The Colts are not the kind of people that are not the kind of team that are going to ground and pound and shove it down your throat. They're the kind of guys that are going to get inside the 20. And they're going to score from the 15, the 10. And that's going to be Luck checking down to Brown. Number 5, and I know Tony D is going to be real pumped about this. I got David Nelson, wide receiver, Buffalo Bills.
Got hurt last year, man. He was doing well.
He was doing well.
Florida.
I was looking to pick him up. Did he marry that cheerleader or what?
Oh, I think he did. Actually,
he did.
Yes.
See, that's bad news because he's complacent now. He's not hungry.
Bad news.
That's bad news.
Probably lift more weight.
He's not.
Help this weightlifting game.
He might join the Sugarland Skeeters. We don't know. Number 4, I have a tight end. He's my only tight end on the list.
My list is mostly tight ends.
Mostly tight ends, really.
Yeah, no, I have a couple.
And I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I'm not really a professional, so I'm just...
Keller. Dustin Keller?
Yeah, right. No, Jacob Tammy?
Tammy, he's
Tammy?
On my list.
Yeah.
Tammy, he played with Peyton at the, you know, his last year.
Right. And I don't see a season where Peyton does not throw the tight ends.
That ain't bad.
He's going to make my list. Yeah. Ooh, David Nelson.
Okay.
It's you.
So, you know, I don't see a season where Peyton Manning doesn't throw it to a tight end. I think that's just it's part of his DNA.
Yeah.
He's got to incorporate the tight end somewhat, and Tammy's going to benefit from that. The other guy was Dreesen, and Dreesen's a joke in my mind.
Jacob Tanney's 132nd ranked because I had him down too for much of the same reason you had. First of all, he did have success with Peyton, and he's one of those guys, oh, anybody have success with Peyton Manning. Well, now he's with him again.
Yeah.
He's always going to be a guy, you know, they're always going to find he's always going to find his tight end. This, you know, he made Dallas Clark 100 reception receiver. To 132nd, you know, you get him in a flex in the leagues that have tight end slash wide receivers or whatever. He's definitely a guy you want to take.
Yeah, and
this guy low.
I don't know if he's
60 catches he'll have.
Yeah, I don't know if he's Pro Bowl, maybe Pro Bowl, like bubble. Maybe an alternate. He's going to get you in that 600 to 800 yard range, and he's definitely going to get you a handful of touchdowns.
Right.
I mean, Peyton looks to that when he's inside the red zone.
There's obviously that group of great tight ends with the Gronkowski and Still Gates to some extent, and Jimmy Graham and those guys. Those are all go. And then there's that next group, and people are going to want to take a Dustin Keller or Black Unicorn or somebody like that. And this is a guy, you can just stick around and wait for Jacob Tanney. You get him, he'd be great.
So that was my number four. Number three, this is a stretch. This is where we get into stretch territory, where you might question my sanity.
That's why we have you here.
Well, thanks.
Not in the NFL yet. He's 300 pounds. He's 9 years old. You're going to want his stats from away.
He's actually I think he was the youngest player in the league last year. I believe he was the youngest or second youngest. Randall Cobb, wideout for the Packers.
Yeah.
Now, he is going to be the fourth, possibly fifth option on that team, but Aaron Rodgers likes to spread the ball. Donald Driver, I don't know what his situation is, but he's dancing with the stars, I think.
Yeah.
And so you also have Greg Jennings, who has injury. Randall Cobb is quick. We saw what he did opening night last year where he took back a
couple of kickers. He's a ridiculous athlete.
And he's young, he's quick, and I think that you might see Rodgers come to him more and more. So this is more of a sleeper pick in that he's not going to be your number one. He's probably not even going to be your number two, but he's a great alternate to plug in when you have a bye week or, you know, if you're in a league that has three or four wideouts.
Yeah, or flex.
Some crazy league.
They
like
throw
that.
The ball so much, especially in a PPR league.
Right.
He's going to get some catches, I think. That's not a bad call, and that's a guy that'll be out there late.
Right. And you never know. I mean, Greg Jennings might get hurt. Jordan Nelson might get hurt. And, you know, if so much of the attention is paid to those other three guys, you know, there might be some openings for him as well. Number two, I actually have a lot of confidence in this pick, and I'll tell you why. Ben Tate, running back, Houston Texans.
Arian Foster's number one.
Arian Foster is definitely number one,
mm-hmm.
but he's a vegan now.
Okay.
And that is why I believe he's going to go down hard with an injury that if he had some protein in him,
it
wouldn't have happened.
Yep.
If he had some meat in him, that wouldn't happen. He's going to get hurt.
I don't know that I've ever gone into a draft thinking of dietary
needs.
But I like that, though.
I go next level, man.
You go next level. I like that.
Arian Foster's going to get hurt. Ben Tate's going to come in. He's going to pick up a lot of the bulk of the work. He's not going to put up Arian Foster numbers.
Did Arian Foster go number one in both of your drafts? You guys are...
No.
I don't think he did, no.
Because ESPN's got him ranked number one. I think Yahoo had him ranked number two. I'm just saying I'm glad I don't have the number one pick in any of the leagues I'm in.
I wouldn't
want to pick him, and I don't want to be in that spot.
I didn't.
The number one pick in fantasy football sucks
yeah.
a lot of times
yeah.
because you're like, you got to take him. I'd rather have a fifth pick.
We actually had a run of quarterbacks go early.
Yeah, let's become that type of league.
Yeah, I mean, and plus the running back pool, other than Foster and Ray Rice.
Shady McCoy,
it's like, that's not...
I agree, there's not a lot of feature...
It's going to be a throw-first league.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
He did go first, I'm sorry. He did go first.
It's probably a vegan.
Are we going to get another Tri-State League?
We can do it.
I got
I'm in like four leagues this year, so I wasn't really thinking about it, but yeah, I can do it.
I'll take another one.
Yeah, we didn't do it for any money last year, did we? Or maybe we did.
No, I think
we'll figure it out.
$50.
We'll get sponsored by the money we're getting from Melky's website. All right, who else you got?
Number one, my number one, and this is a recent development, and you probably know where I'm going with this.
No, I don't.
I'm probably peaked. Number one.
You little peaker.
He's got the hottest wag in the league. Miami Dolphins starting quarterback Ryan Tannehill.
She is something.
He is something more. This guy.
You know I like his release.
Dolphins, in their franchise, I don't think they've ever had a rookie starting at quarterback other than Marino. I don't even know if Marino started.
Marino did. Because the second, he did.
It might have been Marino and Greasy were the two.
I don't think Greasy started at opening day. Yeah. I don't think he did. He probably got some burn.
So he's already in pretty, really good company.
And they named him after the second preseason game. Matt Moore didn't play bad.
Matt Moore didn't play bad last year. He looked pretty good this year. David Garrard was named the starter initially. So, I mean,
he got hurt playing with his kids.
It's not like he started by default.
Yeah. No, look.
And I watched Hard Knocks. And he's like you said last week, he's throwing some pretty good balls. I mean, he's quick release, and he's right on the money. I think that, you know, he's not going to have a Cam Newton year, but he's going to give you yardage. He's going to give you probably a fair amount of picks, but I don't think he's going to take a lot of sacks.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to throw a fair amount of touchdowns.
I'm surprised at how good he has shown. And now, again, I'm just going by the preseason parts that I've seen and Hard Knocks, but I am surprised at how good he looks. I'm not like I'm a fan of them. I hate the Dolphins just as much as I hate the, you know, Pats. But this guy is a legitimate quarterback. As far as drafting and fantasy, you know, again, backup quarterback, you want to take him. I just worry about his weapons, who he's thrown the ball to. So I worry a little bit about that.
Well, he's got a 7-Eleven.
Got 7-Eleven open all day. What's that guy's last name?
Chris Hogan.
Hogan.
I was looking for him.
He ain't listening.
He
is
nowhere to be found
on draft boards. 7-Eleven. All right. I ranked mine not necessarily. I didn't know how to do it like 10-1. So I just did it in reverse order from how high they're ranked.
Okay.
So like my number 10 is Reggie Bush because he was ranked 51. And I know Reggie Bush is kind of a cop out pick.
He's my starting running back.
Yeah. Well, I'm keeping him in a league. I'm keeping him in a league where I drafted him in the 7th round last year, so he's a 5th round pick for me this year.
That's a good pick.
Yeah,
that's
I think so, too. I really like that offensive line. They got Long. They got Incognito. They got Pouncey, the brother of the other Pouncey for Steelers. I like that offensive line. I like the fact that if you said they were going to start a rookie, you were talking earlier about why you took Donald Brown. I think that Reggie Bush is going to catch the ball in the backfield.
Yep.
I think Reggie Bush is going to be a legit number one running back, and you're going to be able to get him in the 4th, 5th round, whereas all these guys are going out and picking, you know, they're loading their teams with the guys that are higher up. I mean, I'd rather have him than a Matt Bradshaw, fantasy-wise. I really think Reggie, you know, he went out and said he thinks he's going to lead the league in rushing. He's not going to do that. But he can give you 1,000 yards rushing and 600 yards receiving with 50 catches.
Yeah.
And, you know, think about what Reggie Bush did his rookie year. He had 80-something catches. He's still going to get that. They don't have a lot of weapons on offense.
Yeah. Does your league penalize for fumbles or turnovers and stuff?
Yeah.
That's the one thing I saw in him that I don't like is that I don't think he protects the ball at all.
No, he doesn't. He didn't when he was at USC.
Oh,
he never has. He definitely does not.
You
know,
like he's in a skee ball tournament.
Yeah, I think though it comes with being an every down back, which he never was even in college.
Yeah.
You know, he had Lindell White there, so he never was an every down back. I think that it, you know, just like Tiki Barber, you know, fumbled all the time, and then you learn to how to handle the ball. Number 9, the exact opposite of a guy that turns the ball over, and I have to put him on here because I talked about him as one of my breakout stars at the law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. He's number 50.
He's my other starting running back.
I'm telling you, the law firm's going to have a solid season. I'm telling you, you're gonna look up the guy. He doesn't fumble the ball.
It'll be a sneaky good season.
You're just going to be like, he's not going to get you a lot of 100-yard games, but he will get you – throughout the course of the season, he'll be a guy who'll get you 10 points a game, you know what I mean? Or 15 points, he'll get, you know, 80 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
And he's going to be consistent, which in fantasy, to me, that's the biggest thing.
Huge.
DeSean Jackson, that's one of the reasons. Dez Bryant's one of the reasons those guys, I don't like drafting them because they will have a game when they put up 30 fantasy points and they'll have a game when they literally put up 0 points.
Yeah.
And this is a guy that's going to get it. He knows how to find the end zone.
Yeah.
You know, he's good down on the goal line and get those touches. So I like him there. Number 8. He's ranked 80th in the ESPN with Torrey Smith, wide receiver for Baltimore.
Yeah. He was available late in our draft.
And
he was
a guy who had some breakout games. It always looked like last year, okay, this guy's ready to be like a number one, even ahead of him. And then, because he's fast.
Yeah.
Catching bombs.
Got six bombs. Yeah. But then he'll like drop a ball here or there. They say he's a great kid, hard worker.
Yeah.
I like him. And he's 80th. So you're talking about you're getting this guy late. And last year you saw, I know you think of the Ravens as the old school Ravens where they pound the ball. They threw the ball a lot last year.
Yeah.
They like to let Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco could throw for 3,500 yards in his sleep. He could throw for 4,000 yards. I think he's going to be a big beneficiary there. So he's number 8. Number 7, 83rd overall, Peyton Hillis of the Chiefs, and I'm saying it somewhat to why you're saying. Were you?
Were you like spying on my draft last night?
That's what I was doing.
I don't have a lot.
Serious?
No, I have no idea. But I think
Derek Jeter might be able to shake the hidden cams, but not me.
So I just like, you know, you got Jamal Charles coming off an injury. People love him.
Yeah.
At some point, he's going to break down. Jamal Charles is not going to give you 16 games. You're going to have Peyton Hillis, who's proven he's done it. You know, he was disgruntled last year.
Yardage goal line back, too.
He's going to get the touchdown.
Right.
The Chiefs are a run first team.
Yeah.
You know, Thomas Jones had some success last year in his old age. You know, he had some good games. You know, he's a guy, especially if you draft Jamal Charles, you have to draft him. But I legitimately think that he's going to get, there's going to be, he's going to start a bunch of games this year by default because Charles is going to get hurt. Even when he does, he's going to be able to get some touchdowns.
My concern with him, though, is what happened to the dude Battle? Remember the big dude? Is he on the team still?
I don't know. I mean, Hillis is number two on the depth chart.
McCluster's still on the team.
Yeah.
And then you have Charles, and then you have this other guy, Battle.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that's why I was hesitant about putting Hillis there.
Number six, I got Shane Vereen. He's the running back for the Pats. You don't have him, too. How many running backs do you draft? Only because I think that, you know, they still like to give their running backs touchdowns. They don't produce 1,000-yard rushers. But they put him in spots where they could do well. They do like to throw to their backs. Remember when Kevin Falk was there, he had a ton of catches.
Yep.
So he was productive in fantasy, even though he would rush for 20 yards, but he'd be productive because he'd catch four or five balls. I don't know the first thing about this guy, really, other than that he's going to be their number one running back, their starting running back. He's a guy 97th, which means you're going to get him late in the draft.
Yeah.
That's probably when people are going out and taking defenses and stuff like that.
Yep.
You slide him in there, just pick him up, throw him on your bench. You can never have too many running backs on your team. So that's why I got him there.
The one concern real quick about him, same with Hillis, is that you got Ridley and you also have Woodhead, and I feel like they would throw more to Woodhead than they would to Ridley.
Woodhead, they put Woodhead in. They have, like, you know, some A sets where they'll have two backs in the backfield and split them both out, let them both go into the flats. Woodhead gets his catches as well. Woodhead had a little less role last year than he did the year when they first got him from the Jets. Number five is my tight end wave coming in, Jared Cook, the tight end from Tennessee.
Yep.
Again, they're going to have a young quarterback, second-year quarterback, which I always like. You know, I was high on Greg Olsen last year, and he didn't have the kind of season I thought he was, but I knew he was going to be playing with Cam Newton. Young quarterbacks like to rely on their tight ends. He actually had some good games last year. He had seven or more catches in each of his last three games last year. He's 123rd. So as far as a backup tight end goes, you know, Tammy's my number four. He's 132nd, but he's in that same ilk. You know, he's not a guy you want. Like, we're not going to go out and start Jared Cook, but he could be a guy who can turn into a 70 or 80 catch tight end.
Yeah,
especially strong too.
Very strong, right? I remember that, and so I'm looking at where he's ranked. I said, this guy's very low.
Yeah, and especially considering they have no wideouts.
Yeah.
Like Kenny Britt, he might play in an orange jumpsuit. I don't know.
Yeah, he's been arrested far too many times. So Jacob Tanney was 132nd. Number three, I got another tight end, Kellen Winslow, 167th.
He was in consideration.
Kellen Winslow, 167th. He's going to be in Seattle.
He's a warrior.
You know, they still that quarterback situation still.
Or he's a soldier. I'm sorry.
He's a soldier.
He's a soldier. I'm sorry.
This guy's a soldier. Now you don't forget, this guy was a stud. Like
The U.
It came in with the Browns and had some success there. It's, you know, he flipped his motorcycle, whatever he did doing wheelies. But he's still only 29. Seems like he's been in the league a long time. He's 29 and he doesn't have a lot of NFL minutes on him because he's missed some time with injuries. I think he could be another guy. I mean, you look at you got to have two tight ends on your team. 167th, you're going to get this guy in one of the last rounds, and it's Kellen Winslow. You know, he has the ability to go out and have 50, 60 catches. Number two, I put my main man, Michael Floyd. I told you he's going to be a breakout star. 172nd.
That's such a roll of the dice, man.
I typically stay away from rookie wide receivers. I really do because
especially the 49ers, like.
Well, no, Michael Floyd's with the
Cardinals.
So he's gonna be opposite. That's what I'm saying. They're gonna be double teaming Larry Fitzgerald.
Right.
I really and the guy has shown he catches balls.
Yeah,
he catches balls. He's not one of those guys that you're like, oh, he's a combine freak or something like that. He's a guy who just catches a lot of balls. Like all these Texas Tech wide receivers that they're worried about. I know Crabtree really hasn't panned out.
Yeah,
but you know you look at like a Wes Welker or those type of guys. Like they catch so many balls. You're so used to catching balls in traffic. This guy, he's a big guy. He can make plays. 172nd is worthwhile. And then I got my last one, and again, the rankings were just where they were. I'm not saying this is my number one sleeper, but he was ranked 192nd as Jacquizz Rodgers
People are picking him based on name alone.
Well, you know, the guy, you know, he gets the obvious comparisons to Darren Sproles because he's little and he's fast.
Yeah.
He's not as fast as Darren Sproles, but he is a guy who's a playmaker. He was electric in college. He didn't do much last year as a rookie, but I could see him getting more involved this year. And so he's a guy, he should be drafted in every league somewhere. 192nd. For those guys that don't really follow fantasy and he's just low on draft boards and people don't think about him, he's a guy I kind of like. So Jacquizz Rodgers is a guy, you know, if he's around and it's the 20th round, you go out and pick him up, you know, if you're still drafting after 20 rounds. Tony D, anybody else we missed? I mean, anything?
You guys, I think you guys cleaned up all the people I had in mind. Jared Cook was my, I got him on my roster right here. I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
But no, I think you guys got me all cleaned up.
Nailed it. Boom. Yep. Sugarland Skeeters. All right, so let's roll right into the 5 and 10. We left ourselves just about 10 minutes left. We're going to try to do mostly football here. We got to go number one. We got to go with your Giants. Last week we talked about Bedgate. This week we're talking about the cold pool gate. Maybe we do something like that.
No, we're just jealous. We're jealous. We're sick of the Jets getting the back page. That's
so you're just, I mean, to me it's such a ridiculous non-story.
That's what I told Tony on the way over. I was like, how is this a story?
It's a story because the stupid idiot punter, who I didn't like when he was a Jet, and I know everybody, he was great, Giants fans love him. This is an idiot who actually backed out of a playoff game because he had anxiety issues. He's a punter.
Yeah.
This guy would get early in the season, every kick was inside the 20. You get him in the playoffs, he had more shanks. Now, he was good for you guys last year. As a Jet, as the season wore on.
Maybe it's the color green that gets him anxious.
This idiot. He's a punter. He had anxiety issues. He couldn't punt. We had to have our place kicker punting the ball because this idiot couldn't suit up to punt.
That's a Jet situation.
That
right
happened
there.
On Earth. That happened on planet Earth. This guy, that happened to. So screw him. He's over there. Oh, I'm from the Super Bowl. Whatever. Shut up.
He's ripped, by the way. Have you seen him
screw
with his shirt off?
And then a shake weight. Shut up. He brought shake weights. He's so funny. He's so ironic. He brought shake weights for the whole team on Hard Knocks.
But at the same time,
shut
like,
up.
Did he really?
Oh, that was a big thing in Hard Knocks. Oh, what did Weatherford do? Oh, he brought shake weights. They all had to do the funny shake weight thing. And, oh, what is the shake weight? What does it look like you're doing? Dude, are you serious?
J-N-O.
And so, yeah, that's him. So to me, it's just stupid. And they're like, well, no, nobody's really mad at him. If I'm a guy, I'd be like, nobody should even talk to you.
Yeah.
You're the punter.
You're going to be a shut up.
Shut up. We can get anyone. We can get some rugby player from Australia to come over here and do what you do. And he probably will suit up on a playoff game because he's not going to be nervous about catching a ball and punting it. Shut up. I would be the first one to try to like, oh, this is the Giant. I'm just saying that this happens everywhere. It was nothing. He threw a guy in a cold pool. He didn't do anything.
Yeah, I would still take that guy over the rookie doo-doo head they had in 2010.
Oh,
and I'm going to kick it right to the best punt return in the world.
He was so bad.
But this guy's been...
they drafted. He was a draft pick on Dodge, didn't they?
This guy's been throwing the whirlpool 8, 9 times.
He's not even a rookie. That's funny.
I mean, that's...
He wasn't even a rookie.
Have you seen the video?
Yeah.
You watch the video. It's only the guy... Like, Jason Pierre-Paul. The guy is just like...
I think you're just like, go back. Like, dude, come on, man. I'm not even a rookie. I didn't play last year.
And when
I am a prince.
Like, he played a couple games.
I think that's why he's getting thrown in, because his name is Prince.
Prince.
Change your name, man.
I mean, and then he throws him in, and then you see, like, the camera pans over, and he's just yelling, like, oh, just punk this, that. He ain't gonna do anything to me to throw him in and throw him in a whirlpool. Like, grow up, bro. Like, what do you think? Last year, they threw him in a whirlpool. They cut his suits up. Ties and like dude gets on a road trip and he opens his suitcase up and his ties and shit are cut in half. It's like, all right, you haze the guy enough. Like you get over.
But if you're this guy's gonna be just hazed because he's like, a D-back.
Yeah.
Like, okay, a lineman can haze a D-back all the time.
And another thing, like, put up a fight, bro. He got you. He got him on his shoulder. He just like willfully just lets the guy carry him to the whirlpool. Like,
that's
kick
the thing.
And punch the guy. Like, what the hell?
You need it. Trouble in Giantsville. Kauf has got to get control.
Idiot punter recorded. Like,
yeah, that's
cool.
He's going to give each of them a check for $5 and it'll be all right.
Yeah, that'll be fine. That'll be fine. All right, number two.
I farted, by the way. I hope you...
That's great. Baconator. Triple Baconator.
Baconator.
We were going to talk about this on Jags. We already talked about it. So why don't we talk quickly about the Hard Knocks, sticking with the football theme. You watched last night's show? last week's episode?
Ah, I missed it.
Yeah,
it's
so good.
First two, though.
It's so good. So that was when they named, you know, they named Tannehill the starter, and there was the thing. I still have not changed my mind, and I know JT disagreed with me, not on air because he doesn't come on the show anymore, but he likes Philbin. Philbin is so soft. In that second preseason game, the personal foul got thrown on one of their D-backs for throwing a guy on the ground, and even the announcer's like, oh, he's going to get an earful from the coach, and the coach, he's the first one there to meet him. He's like, coach, I know what you're doing. You just hear him going, okay. That was what the coach said. Okay,
After watching the show, I'm actually really shocked that they hired this guy to be the head coach. He just does not have that head coach type of aura to him, like, and I.
No, he is. He's Mangini.
Well, no, I kind of see what I, being a Giants fan and seeing what Tom Coughlin does. You know, you can bash him. You can say, okay, well, it's luck or it's fortune or whatever.
No, I love that guy.
But
I love him as a coach.
I see a little bit like a hint of Coughlin and Philbin, but he doesn't have that reputation.
Yeah, I don't.
And he doesn't have that kind of fire, but he has that same kind of.
So they had a couple of the team leaders, Carlos Dansby, Reggie Bush, and Jake Long, met with him in his office. This is how the show starts. Met with him in his office because of Carlos Dansby's comments that he didn't think that Chad Johnson should get cut. You know, when he got cut, and he said, and basically they met with him. They're like, we just, you know, I shouldn't have said what I said, but you know, we think that we need some of the leaders on the team to meet with you regularly to talk about our views. Like, we would have liked to have been talked about about this stuff. And he just, like, he doesn't even command the room when he's with three other guys.
Right.
He doesn't have that commanding presence. I don't think that, you know, he keeps saying, like, you know, Reggie Bush is he's clearly becoming the leader of that team.
Yeah.
They show him that he works hard after practice.
Yeah.
He's on Tannehill,
yeah,
like, to be hard, work hard, and they're like, well, that's what we want. We want our coach, our players, to run the team. Which is fine and good, you know what I mean? But eventually that's not going to be the case. Of course you want – a player's going to listen to another player before they listen to the coach. It's just human nature.
No, but that's –
But
that's
you can't not also be the head coach and have that aura about you.
Yeah.
I don't think you could be a successful coach in the NFL without that aura, and he doesn't have it.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, and you could see it. There was a – in the second episode, there was a moment where he comes in and he announces to the quarterbacks about what's going on, and then he leaves, and you could sense that, like, everyone was waiting for him to leave to, like, crack a joke, and they just, like, bit their tongue.
It really is. You get that sense. There's, like, no sense of – and I've watched all these Hard Knocks, so I see all the different coaches and all their different styles.
I love the guy who swears up – the offensive line coach.
Oh, the Boston accent?
The guy who swears up a storm? That guy is amazing.
They did the rookie talent show, and one of the linemen did an impression of him.
Yeah.
And it was funny. But that guy I like a lot. The quarterback coach is younger than us. Have you seen that quarterback coach? He's like 25.
Yeah.
It looks like he's never thrown a football in his life. And he's so nervous. He was so nervous. He was the one that broke the news to Matt Moore. And Matt Moore is becoming my favorite player on that. Like, the way he carries himself, like, he's not, you know, he's loose. He's clearly good. The team looks up to him.
He's got to be starting somewhere at some point in the season. Not maybe with Miami.
Yeah.
But,
you know, he started as a rookie, first game of the season, but he started as a rookie down in Carolina. It wasn't his fault they weren't good last
year. Exactly,
He makes plays.
He's been in some bad situations.
Yeah. So I'm slowly becoming a small Matt Moore fan. All right. Now, give me two teams. This is topic number three. Two teams from each conference that made the playoffs last year are not going to make the playoffs this year. Every year there's turnover. Usually there's three. For me, but give me two from start with the AFC.
Yeah, I'll start with the AFC. You know, and anyone who's been listening to the show knows that I have no faith in the Houston Texans.
I know you hate them.
I
knew you were gonna say that.
I don't know why I hate them. It's just like, you know,
you don't know anything about football.
I don't.
Josh.
I'm midway through my letter of resignation right now.
We're just gonna get another Jersey guy in here.
Yeah. So Houston Texans, I mean, I don't know how much of an explanation you want, but it's like beating a dead horse at this point, or beating a dead Texan.
What don't you like about them? Exactly. I mean,
Arian Foster being a vegan, and I know, like, you think I'm being comical, but that is ridiculous.
Prince Field is a vegan. He's somehow still fat.
Get the hell out of here.
Yes, he sure is.
No way.
He's a vegan. He doesn't eat any meat. He's at least a vegetarian. He doesn't eat, I swear to God. There's like a big deal about it. He didn't lose any weight. Tight end Prince Fielder.
What the hell is
vegan.
He?
Vegan. My man is a vegan.
What the hell is he eating?
He drops bombs, my dude. He eats pasta.
Is
straight pasta.
Is lard vegan?
I don't think
lard is vegan, right?
I don't know. I don't know. My man,
they're like tofu lard.
That's absurd.
Fat bull tofu. Okay.
My mind is leaking.
Who's
your
other team?
All right, my other team in the AFC, and I mentioned this before, but I mean, and I got a. I'm gonna put the finger on Todd Haley on this one. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Not
Todd Haley is going to.
Not anymore vegetarian. He's a vegetarian. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
He went a week where he ate broccoli and was like,
he had the flu for a week.
He got food poisoning from, like, you know, his poo-poo platter, and was like, I can't do meat.
I can't do meat.
Anyway, Pittsburgh Steelers, Todd Haley is going to, after I saw that Monday night game, he's going to be the downfall of that team. Big Ben is going to hate his ass, and they're going to miss the playoffs.
I'm shocked. I have the Steelers, too, and I thought I was being bold picked there with the Steelers.
No, definitely the Steelers. I mean, you know, they have the, they're all messed up at the running back situation. Big Ben is off in Hawaii somewhere.
He's got a torn rotator cuff.
Yeah, he's...
That's what I worry about. That's why I got the Steelers. I'll just give you my other AFC team while we're in the AFC. I got Cincinnati Bengals. I think they were kind of smoking mirrors last year. I think Andy Dalton's poised for a sophomore slump season, a la Sam Bradford, Josh Freeman, everyone, all the guys that have a sophomore slump. I think their defense is good, but
and a tougher schedule too. I mean,
tougher schedule from being
team.
A playoff team. I think Cincinnati's out, and I got the Steelers as well for a lot of the same reasons. Now, who do you got in the NFC?
NFC, I have, and I've said this before, the New Orleans Saints. I don't see them bouncing back. Like, I know Drew Brees is. He could probably run the team by himself, and he's going to have to for a while. But I just there's too much turmoil and problems going on there. As a team, as a football team, you look for consistency. You look for people that you can look to.
Yep.
You're looking for that chemistry. And when you have people out for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, there's something's going to get messed up.
I got the Saints as well. I think biggest thing, we talked about the importance of a head coach. You lose your head coach. A couple months before the season starts, you got a guy in there who knows he's only going to be there for a year. That's a big deal in football. You can get away with that in other sports, especially baseball. You can't get away with that. That's a big deal. Yeah. And all these games, they always say the difference between a 7-9 team and an 11-5 team is a couple plays here and there. And a coach can do that for you. I really think Sperano cost them the Dolphins early last year. He wasn't a good head coach. And it cost them clock management, different things. I think that's a big deal. So Saints are one of mine. Who else you got?
I went back and forth on this one. I have two teams circled, but I'm gonna have to make a decision, an executive decision, and I'm gonna go with the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
A lot of people are talking about Julio Jones, saying this is gonna be his breakout year. I think they're gonna perform well in the regular season, but I think that I really have a lot of faith in the Carolina Panthers. I think that they're gonna turn around and they're gonna be a team that's gonna be. That might just win the division.
Yeah.
And then you look at the NFC North, and I think
that's where the wild cards are coming from. I can see that. Now, I got the Lions, and I told you I just think that I love the Bears. I know I'm thinking of teams that are going to get in. That's in their division. I think that they're going to have a tough time winning games in their division, although, you know, they got the Vikings. I think the Lions are going to fall short. And I'm going to give you a bonus number three because I think there's going to be the three teams I think that didn't make the playoffs last year that are going to. The Bears will definitely make the playoffs.
Yep.
I like the Eagles. And I like the Cowboys. I know that people are, you know, some people like the Cowboys, some people don't, which means I think that the Giants are going to miss out in the playoffs because of their schedule and because of their record.
Son of a bitch.
I don't think that they're a bad team. I mean, they're any worse than they were last year. But, they got in close. I think they win nine games. I don't think it's going to be enough to get them in. You look at what they typically do, after a Super Bowl. Well, we're not going to get to the rest of it. Fairfield lost. Screw the Little League World Series. We're going to see you guys next week. We're going to try to get a little video up. We had some. I don't think we're going to get all the video up, but we're going to get some video up. We're the Tri-State Sports Guys. Check us out live next week, Wednesday, 8 o'clock. See you next week.